So the connection to the parsha is somewhat obvious. The beginning of the parsha by Yaakov, the Torah says, "This shall losavaru eish b'chomu shosecha b'yom haShabbos," which is interesting because out of all of the malachas of Lama Tess malachas, the only two malachas which are mentioned, eish, the issue of making a fire, was a mentioned explicitly. And back in Parshas B'Shalach, Al Yotze Ish Mimkama B'yom HaShvi Chazal Darshan Al Tikri Al Yotze Ish, but Al Yotze Ish, according to Mumshad Nemor, Al Yotze is telling me there's an Isser of Malach of Hitzor. But beyond this Malach of Hitzor, and this in the Malach of Havoras Eish of making a fire, all the Lama Tess Malachas are included in the Isser of Lusasach HaMalach, and that's it, they're not mentioned explicitly. One of the questions which comes up is dealing with electricity. What is the status of electricity? So when the question first came up, it was always in conjunction with electric light. In electric light, it just the question was the way it works, at least the way the original electric lights worked, which was based on a filament. Actually, the first filament wasn't even tungsten. The first thing that they used was a carbon filament. It would get to the point where it would get hot enough that it would glow. And that came the Psak of the Gerlum, that's considered making fire, based on the Rambam. The Rambam understands that taking metal to the point that it glows is the malacha of Mavir. The Rivet learns the malacha actually is Bishol, and there is an argument to say that there are, but either way, it's going to be an Issa Deraisa, whether it's Bishol or it's Mavir, is going to be a malacha. But the question which gets more complicated is in a case where you're using electricity not to make a fire, not for electric light, but using electricity to make some type of machine work. So if you're having a machine which is working, the machine itself is doing a malacha, a person turns on a mixer and the mixer is kneading dough. So there's definitely malacha taking place. The question is, is that considered the person's action? So then the question came, is this machine which is doing this action, is it considered the person's action or is it only a grumble? That's the first level of question which you had to deal with. But then the question went further, was a case where the action which is taking place is not a malach at all. What's happening is not a malach at all, but it's the simple fact that the machine is using electricity to do it, so I have a fan going. So a person would turn on a fan on Shabbos. So moving air is not a malach, there's always sort of moving air. So the fact that the fan is moving the air is not the problem. The question is, but I've completed an electric circuit and therefore allowed this fan to blow and to move air. Am I doing anything wrong with that? So the first one who addressed this question was the Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkes, the Beis Yitzchak, who was one of the biggest Gedolim in Poland at his time. The turn of the last century, but I have to be careful when I say that. The turn of around the 1900s. So he came along and said that really it's hard to find exactly what's the Isser, but we have a Gemara which seems to support it. There's a Gemara in Beya. The Gemara in Beya talks about an Isser of Mingmerlid Reyach. If a person takes a baggot and would put, infuse the baggot with a smell, take an Isser and rub it against the baggot and infuse the baggot with the smell, so that's also to do, because you're creating the smell in the baggot. Since beforehand there wasn't the smell, beforehand it didn't have that added dimension of having a nice smell. By adding something new, it's in some way you're like you do. It approximates the deal of a malach of creating something new which wasn't there beforehand. Rashi says a similar idea. There's an Isser on Yom Tov. You're allowed to make a fire. Rashi, you're allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov. Chazal said you can't make a fire. I don't think you could only transfer a fire. You can't make a new fire because being Marlin H, it looks like you're creating something new. That looks like a malacha. Rashi says.
So Rebbe, the case of the clothes and this, are they derabban or are they?
Those are the older abundance.
Older
abundance. So he suggests that if Chazal answered the idea of being Marlin a reyach, being Marlin a koyach, adding a dimension of ability to the item which wasn't there beforehand, it's now able to move to do something which it wasn't able to do by adding electricity. You're adding a new dimension to it which wasn't there beforehand. They would go into the Isser of being Merlid Reyach. If that's the Isser, it's important to understand the Shulchan Aruch Rav passes on that halacha, that he's Madaikan, when we pass the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that the Isser is only to be merlid reich, but to be most of reich is not Osir. Which means if it already has a smell, you want to strengthen the smell. It's not Osir. It's only Osir if it goes from zero smell to adding a smell totally. So if the whole Isser is only because you're being merlid a koyach, if the current is already flowing, you want to increase the intensity of the current, you want to make it stronger, it would not be Osir. So Shlomo Zalman discusses that in the context of the idea of using a microphone. Even you're not talking to the microphone, there is a current, the circuit is complete and there is a flow of electricity. The only thing that happens is when you talk into it, you're increasing that. So we said that based on this argument of the Beis Yitzchak, if that's the Isser, it would not be a problem. Rav Moshe also talks about it in regards to the using a hearing aid, that's what's happening with the hearing aid. A hearing aid is a mini microphone with a mini speaker, which is going to enhance the sound, and with the battery is on, the hearing aid is on. And by speaking into it, you're just increasing the intensity of the electric current which is going. So, in relation back to Akshubas, he says, in regards to a microphone for a shul, is not going to allow such a thing, but to leave a person who needs a hearing aid to be left bereft of his hearing aid on Shabbos is much more of a need, and therefore he would realize that that's not considered doing something of significance. The tshuva regards to using a microphone, he says, no, you're doing something horrible, you're increasing the electricity, it's a problem. Then he says, the next tshuva, you print it back to back. He says, yeah, well, you really don't do anything, you're just like making it a little more strength, you know, like what's the difference? So so obviously you understand on the circumstances that he looked at the tshuva from it. The Chazanish comes along and says that he would see this as much more than just an Issur Rabbanan. He bases it on the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos on Nachman Zion, that the Gemara says something which in the context of the Gemara, it's difficult to understand, in which case, a final general rule. But the Gemara grapples with this idea of taking a kli and making it more functional. Is that considered a malacha? The Rabbanan, the Rice, etc. So one of the examples the Gemara gives was that a person had a pole which was used for whitewashing, for painting. So you would have some type of a brush or whatever is at the end, and you want to do your wall. So what did you do? You had extenders. So you'd start with it being one length of the handle was one length long. Let's say, for example, it was a foot long, and then you would paint very low down, and then you would screw in an extender which is a foot long. Now you paint a little bit higher, then you would screw in another one, etc. The Gemara says that's a malacha deraisa to screw that in. It's a malacha deraisa. Even though it's made to take it on and off, because by the time you get to the top, you're going to pull it down, take them all off, and start over from the next floor, from the bottom. So it's made to go on and off. But that being said, you see from that Gemara, that the Gemara holds it, sits right now to what you want to accomplish. It's not functional. And by adding this thing in a tight way, you would have to do it tightly to be considered a malacha deraisa. It makes it functional for that purpose. That added dimension of ability, which is being added, is different than just adding the smell or something. This is something of significance. You change its functionality in a real way, and therefore it's a malacha deraisa to do that.
Why?
That's what the Chazanish called. That's the malacha bona. Right. Right, so when they say the Chazanish is electricity, the issue of electricity is bona. That's what he. This, that, if you look at what he writes in Chazanish of the Sefer, that's what he means. Some people have other explanations of what he means when he says bona, but if you look at what he writes in the Sefer, that's what he means. Now, there are cases in the Gemara which are back-to-back. The Gemara talks about putting together a mitzah, which is made out of pieces, and putting it together, and the Gemara's mashma that it can be put together in a way which is not a malacha deraisa. So, what defines what's a malacha deraisa? It's not a malacha deraisa, it's a hard Gemara. But he takes away the idea of something which, before you have the electric current there, it's not functional. You can't do what you want to do. It's not blowing the air. It's not compressing the gas in the refrigerator. And by adding the turning electricity on, you're making it this wire, which was not functional. That itself is considered a malacha deraisa. That's definitely a significant change in the item. And that's not an issur rabbanan, that's an issur deraisa. What comes up, the question is, but we can still argue, which he grapples with, is this considered a direct act of the person, or is this considered a grama? Because the way the systems work, you know, the energy is there, it's ready to flow through the wires, but the circuit, you're just completing the circuit. You complete the circuit, electricity flows on its own. What are you doing exactly? So there's a suggestion that said that this is not a malacha. That it's not a malacha. It's only a groom. So on that, there's a machon eretz yisrael, machon madu'i, tetralogi lebayit b'halacha. So the head of that machon, Levi Halperin, wrote a sefer called Maisa v'groma b'halacha. And then in this sefer, he says that he discusses this at length. Is this considered a Maisa versus a groma? That's the whole sefer is trying to define Maisa versus groma. And he says that really this is not. The Gemara discusses certain cases where the water is ready to flow and you take away the dam which is blocking it, and then the water flows on its own. In some ways, in certain scenarios, it's considered directly your action. What the water then does in some situations, it's considered that the water is ready to flow on its own. It's nothing to do with you. So the electricity is coming from the power generator from the plant, and it's ready to do its own thing, nothing to do with you. You're taking away the blockage, as it were. So that's incorrect. What you're doing is creating an aqueduct, a bridge, to bring the water to that place. This is not, it's beyond taking away the dam which is blocking the water, and the water would flow there anyway. It's what about if I build an aqueduct to direct the water in a different direction, and now all the water which is flowing there is due to my action? That's more than just a groma. So over here, by completing the circuit, allowing electricity to flow, that you're creating that viaduct which allows that to bring the electricity there. That's more than that. Beyond that, there's a letter from the Chazon Ish between him and the Rucham Oizer. When he came there to Israel, one of the many issues he wanted to address over there was the issue of milking on Shabbos, milking and using some type of a mechanical milker which is going to be using electricity. So the suggestion was that maybe they could do it in some form of a groma. And in the letter between Rucham Oizer and the Chazon Ish, the Chazon Ish seems to suggest that he feels that's not a groma. Once I make a system, let's say I make a system that it accomplishes action X, but inside the machine which does X, there are five different sprockets. So I turn the first sprocket, which turn the second sprocket, which turn the third sprocket. It's only a groma. Says that's not a groma anymore. That's the machine. Once you put it together, this is how it always worked. That becomes the machine. That's not considered a groma. So the Chazon Ish said that trying to use some type of a delay or a groma inside of the machine itself, he did not see as a groma. Rav Mercer agreed with him. It's not considered a groma. Rabbi Yashiv was on record. There's a sefer Shavuos Yitzchok, which he asked Rabbi Yashiv the same question. Rabbi Yashiv said the same thing. This was part of the question which came up when they dealt with the idea of the Shabbos mode, which is only relevant for Yom Tov, not for Shabbos. They didn't want to call it the holiday mode because that wouldn't be very confusing to people. Call it at least the Sabbath mode people would relate to. The Yom Tov mode they didn't like. Holiday mode didn't make any sense. So they end up with Sabbath mode, even though it's only relevant for Yom Tov. The idea of creating some type of a delay in your oven, so you can't change, you can't increase the intensity of the electricity. Nowadays, most machines, it's not a question of increasing the. If you want to change the level of flow of electricity inside your oven, really what you're doing is there's different multiple circuits which flow through the elements, and you open and close X amount of them, and that creates the temperature which is there. So you're opening and closing circuits. The solution was to put a delay in it, an unspecified delay based on an algorithm which would make it into a groma. So Rabbi Yashiv said it's not a groma. Now that's how the system works, that's not considered a groma, that's considered your direct action. Rabbi Heinemann held that was considered a groma. And that's the issue which is over there. What's come up as a fascinating question is to look at that issue, which has become very, now as we move to the world of digitalization, becomes very significant. It's the following issue. What will be in a situation where the machine, all it does is open and complete circuits, but it doesn't do anything? Right? So I have a sensor. The sensor senses that my presence in the room. But I said that, you know, the way it works is the thermostat is such and such a temperature, it's not going to turn anything on or off. But the sensor is sensing me. So the sensor, when the sensor senses me, what it's doing is it's opening and closing microcircuits, you know, nanocircuits, opening, which to now, normally it'll send the message and then do something with it. Well, it's not sending the message. You are opening and closing these nanocircuits inside of the sensor. Is that considered a problem? Well, you're creating, it now has knowledge of you, which has been encoded in its binary system, its microsystem of that which is there. Whether it'll do something with it or not is the next step. So the question of the Grumma mode, the Shabbos mode issue was that the way when you press the button, immediately the computerized chip recognizes that fact that you press the button, but it doesn't do anything with it. So it's not, the action which you've done is not visible in any way, shape, or form. And eventually it impacts it in a way which is not direct. That was the argument. Is that considered that you've done something? You've completed a circuit. Well, according to Chazon Ish, completing a circuit is significant. Well, nothing happened. So with that, now this issue becomes nowadays your water meter is keeping a track of, if you have a digitalized water meter, the smart meter, it's keeping track of your water flow. There's a sensor which is keeping track of it. It is doing something. You don't see it necessarily, but eventually it's going to affect it. You have motion sensors, which in hotel rooms, which turn off the heat on and off, the air conditioning on and off. So even say, well, you know, it's like nichole, and you put in a temperature where it's not going to make a difference, etc. But the sensor is still sensing, unless you could some way override the sensor. So the Poskim is true, when they got involved in the digital metering for water, a lot of Poskim held that you can't use water on Shabbos. That's quite a statement, right? You have to take all the water that you need before Shabbos. That can become quite challenging. Imagine three. For Yom Tov, maybe we could argue that, you know, according to Chazon Ish, it's still going to be a problem even Yom Tov, but it's not what they're in Yom Tov. The Merle Reich, Merle is a Sidrabanan, so you're not really interested in keeping track of the water. Maybe yes or no, you could argue maybe. But for Shabbos, it's quite challenging. So they're in the midst of creating they've created a smart meter, which in Shabbos becomes mechanical. In Eretz Yisrael, some of the Mishmer Shabbos has created a smart meter which can be overrode and become totally mechanical. The sensor is not sensing, doesn't sense anything at all when it's on the Sabbath mode. It's set for Sabbath mode, so there's no sensor at all involved in it. It's back to being mechanical, which is not a problem. So this is some of the challenges which we have nowadays. Refrigerators, you know, once upon a time, the only issue with the refrigerator was turning on the light. Well, nowadays, refrigerators the more modern refrigerators. When I spoke to the Star K, there's a person over there, Mr. Attensasser, who that's his field. I was looking into buying a new refrigerator. He said, "Buy an old one. Don't buy a new one. You know, because if you buy a new one, he says there's sensors in there which are going to sense every time you open and close the door." Well, they don't do anything with the information, but that itself. But this is back to the question. But whether it does anything with it, but. You've completed circuits, and there's a memory of this. Okay, so let's change the scenario. So I'm sitting Friday night, and I have my computer, which is set. The screen doesn't work, and I have this Kiddush Torah, and I just want to type it in. Nothing happened. Nothing's on the screen. The screen's off, but it's been stored in the memory. That information, the piece of information, is stored in the memory. So we would understand that. We would not really look upon that being considered the proper way to keep Shabbos, right? So. And then after Shabbos, I'll turn on the thing, and then that which is turned on will pop up and give me information. So my refrigerator senses the door is open, how long it's open, and decides if it's a frost free, when you have to turn on the element, which will then remove all of the ice which is being produced. It'll learn how often you do the same things and adjust to it, etc. That's what some of these smart things do. So there's information which is being stored, which eventually will be used. So it's a problem. So and covering the sensors are now magnetized in the door itself, and the button becomes irrelevant. So it's a challenging world ahead of us in this issue, what areas which were, we said, well, what's it doing? It's just compressing, these type of things. So the compressing is the easy part. That's the easy part of your using the refrigerator. For Shlomo Zalman, that's not a problem. But these type of issues are really, that's the frontier of the Hilchos electricity and Shabbos issue. Okay.
That's great.
Okay. So...